When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What have you done now?
Can you dig it, sucker?
This is the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Sitting in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Hall of Fame. I'm Booker T, six-time world champ. Two-time Hall of Fame, along with my man Brad Gilmore here with me, coming to you from ESPN 975-925. Getting ready to do this thing, man, like it's supposed to be done. Make all you suckers out there bow down. Make y'all pay, my son. Hey, Bradley, how you feeling today, dog?
Hey, Book, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's Reality Wrestling Show Week. We got a big show going down at the Booker T World Gym Arena this Saturday night. You know, don't miss out. Don't get shut out. Big matches announced. The heat is all over the show. I had a great weekend, Book. I was all around. But, you know, I actually wanted to start off by illuminating the audience on something that I feel like sometimes we say things on the show, right? And those things mostly are proven to be what I like to call fact in a matter of time. Sometimes we say things, and when I say we, sometimes you, because the internet jumped, because you're the big name. They say, Booker, what? Booker doesn't know what he's saying. He didn't know what he's talking about, right? You've seen these comments, right?
I never know what I'm talking about.
That, according to them, you never know what you're talking about. But you've seen these comments. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. So whenever I see something that you say that proves to be true and we can now check as fact, I like to make sure that everybody knows about it. Now, right. Book, I have one question for you. What did you say about Mount Everest?
The brothers, we try to stay away from Mount Everest.
And who do you say likes to climb Mount Everest?
Most white folks.
Okay, so this was an opinion of Booker T's up until today. When I pull up the internet and I read the most recent story in the wrestling news circle, so I'm bringing it back to wrestling, and here it is. I'm going to share it to everybody right now. Darby Allin plans to climb Mount Everest next year. So now, it is no longer opinion, it is fact.
Brad said that, guys. I did.
I said it.
Okay. I won't get no heat or nothing. But no, man, that's a fact, man. It's just a fact. I mean, it's thrill seekers. You know, jumping out of airplanes, you know what I mean, bungee jumping, you know, stuff like that. You know, the craziest one is the guy who want to, you know, hang out with the grizzly bears. And they ate his ass up.
Was he a member of my tribe?
No, he was some, you know, I don't know. What is my tribe? I did again.
I mean, is he a white folk?
He's a white guy.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Is he part of the tribe?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, ain't no brother's going to be hanging out with bears, you know, grizzly bears that can eat you. You know, they broke in the house, you know what I mean, ate them, you know, and the thing is, he's filming it. He want to document it. What the hell is wrong with your people, man? So I'm like,
we don't have enough time in the show, book.
But like I say, man, have you seen the extreme biking?
That is the one. Do you know what's funny? As I don't know if you remember this, it was years ago. We were somewhere, and it was on television.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were watching it, and you said. Only your kind of people, Brad.
You don't see no brothers.
Not one.
Brothers don't even come to just hang out and watch.
Not one, man.
Because one thing, it's normally somewhere where it's real hot. That and the brothers don't go together. Why do you think we live Africa? It's hot in the bush. It's hot.
Time out. Let's get off the subject. Now I'm uncomfortable. Oh, that's so funny. But hey, Book, what did you do?
It's not about Everest, though, I can tell you that.
It's nothing about Everest. Well, you know, like I know that there's a whole movie about people who climb Everest and they died.
Most of them, you know, most of the guys that in that movie died. One guy got back. He willed himself to get back. Because he was thinking about his wife. You know what I mean? He willed himself to get back. He lost, you know, maybe like most of his toes, all of his fingers, a piece of his nose. You know what I mean? But he got back, you know. But that right there, man, that's a crazy kind of love, a fascination. I don't even know what you want to call it, to want to do something like that where you're putting yourself at risk to die. Or lose limbs. I just don't get it. You know what I mean? Make me understand it if you can.
Yeah, I cannot. You know, I'm not a thrill seeker like that. You know, I mean, I'll go to most you'll get me on is a roller coaster. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
maybe I'll do that, but I'm not bungee jumping. I'm not spelunking. Anything that sounds like that, I'm not into hang gliding.
I thought about bungee jumping a couple of times, man, when they first came out with it until I saw a couple of people die. You know, one funny guy bounced off the ground and went all the way back up and hit the thing up at the top. needless to say, he died.
That's not funny. I mean, it's unfortunate, but yeah, it's something like that that makes you go, yeah, I'm all right. But what do you think of, would you skydive?
No.
I don't think I would either.
I just have no thrill to want to do something like that.
I would say I see the appeal of skydiving.
I can put the VR on and get the same feel, the same thrill, the same excitement.
Now, I did the parasailing thing one time where they have you by the wire and you're like 100 feet up in the air and they're dragging you by the boat.
Yeah, yeah.
That was all right. That wasn't so much thrilling
as
it was.
What if that cord just snapped?
I thought about that.
What do you do?
Hopefully it would slowly, I'd glide down, hopefully with my little gimmick.
There's a good strong wind out there. You somewhere out over the Pacific.
I mean, I wouldn't like that.
Oh, we're in the Gulf. Yeah, the Gulf. Yes.
I was in the Atlantic at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't have liked it. I wouldn't have liked it. But I see that one was fun. The only thing that tripped me out about that is the guy was like, hey, don't lean back, you know, in your harness. Because then, you know, you'll slip through. And I'm like, well, that doesn't seem like it's very harnessed to me. I don't feel secure in that at all. What do you mean don't lean back? And I can't lean forward either. So you should have seen me up there. I was like,
should I lean?
I was straight as a board. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God, man. You're people. I have no desire to want to do anything like that, man. I don't know. Just not in my nature. Just not in my nature. Not in this life, anyway.
Well, you know what? We'll see. Because remember, President Bush, 41, like every 10 years, he would skydive. So he was 90.
He's a military guy, though, right?
He was a military guy, yeah.
Yeah, you know, military guys, that's something that, you know, that's regular for them. You know what I mean? They want to get out of the Army. They still want to have that thrill of what it was like, you know, hanging out with the boys. It's like the wrestlers, you know what I mean? You want to, you know, go back and see what it's like in the locker room sometimes. So I get that. Yeah, I get it.
Now, your wife, the Queen, the Hall of Famer, chimed in and said parasailing is super fun. So
well,
I'm going
to tell you right now, we've been together almost 30 years, and I don't remember the last time she went parasailing.
Calling her out.
I don't know what the hell she talking about.
You about to get a text message here during the break.
Unless she been somewhere without me. Okay. Maybe we need to talk about this, you know. So yeah, okay. Maybe. All right. You know, since you telling secrets, because I don't remember going on no parasailing trips.
At all. Maybe you were working.
Maybe I was. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. So you might want to just be careful with them text messages. Or them chat tweets, whatever you call them.
We chat gotta take tweets. No one in the history of the internet's ever called them chat tweets.
It's not like, stick around. You get the Hall of Fame with chat tweets, gentlemen.
Maybe I choose you. You ain't gotta be the only one we could be too. I see you over there.
You're listening to the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore. You could be my
island mommy. Welcome back inside the Hall of Fame, guys. Just chopping up time with some Russian sports and entertainment. You guys in the chat, of course, you guys want to chime in. Super chat. Do it now. I do it for you. But I don't know, Brad, where you want to start it?
Well, I just say Kappa Owens said, Brad Book, always remember, we ain't going.
We ain't going, man. I mean, we ain't going to Everest or any of them other, even the little small mountaintops, mountain peaks. If it ain't a molehill, we ain't going on it. You know, I'm serious.
And yeah. I will say we have another chat from the wife, from the missus, the queen, because you haven't taken me to the beach, is what she said. You know, it's getting spicy.
You already went parasailing. You can get yourself to the beach. You know what I mean? Right. What I heard, he got to get you there. You already know how fun
it is. You know the way. You know the path.
You already know where you rent them at. You know what I mean? The guy that's working at the shop and all that. I mean, so what you need me for? Shoot, man. Don't make me say something.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Don't do it, man. Don't. Oh, God help me. Oh, yeah, but come on, man. What we got?
Hey, well, I think we should start with the big news. Actually, before we get into WWE, the big news from the weekend, right?
RV broke down again.
Your RV broke down again. Let's jump.
That's what you want to talk about?
Not that fact. You know what? AEW, Wembley Stadium, the ticket sales came out. Apparently, they moved 60,000 tickets for this big stadium show. And I will say, Book, when they announced, I said, they're going to do well because it's their first time kind of in the UK. But I didn't think that they'd do 60,000 once the tickets opened, and you know, who knows how many more they could sell, or even if it just capped at 60, this is the biggest show in AEW history, and it shows that there's still a large audience for AEW, even though, in my opinion, they've kind of gone through somewhat of a quieter time in the last couple months. The demand's still out there, and that, I think, if I was a AEW roster member, I'd be doing everything and politicking to Tony Khan to try to get on that show.
Well, yeah, I mean, the card is not even, you know, pretty much, have they said any no, matches yet?
No.
Yeah, yeah. So one thing about those UK fans, man, they're rabid, bro. They're rabid. And then you're going to have people coming from all over the world to actually want to be a part of something like that. That right there in itself, you know, makes it unique, makes it special. It's almost like these conventions, man. I just came back from Manchester, man, and what are the 2 days, man? Those fans came out and supported like crazy, man, big time. It was unbelievable convention. So I'm not surprised. Look, I'm not surprised one bit as far as what kind of audience that they've drawn because there again, AEW is a worldwide company. It's a machine right now. It's got some momentum behind them, and if they could think about that stuff like that more often, they'll be in a much better place.
Yeah, I think that this show, anytime a wrestling crowd goes over to the UK, it's always normally good. I remember when the TNA shows, I'd watch them on television. They all have like 20,000 people in there, or 15, 20,000. It was always a really good house for even TNA back in the day. So for AEW to be at Wembley, which is already a stadium that's got a lot of pro wrestling history, when I say a lot, everyone, if you're a wrestling fan and you say Wembley Stadium, the first thing everyone's going to say is Bret Hart, Davey Boy Smith, SummerSlam. Like, that's what everyone thinks of. And for AEW, this could be the show that everybody talks about for their company for the rest of time. I mean, people still bring up that SummerSlam in Wembley Stadium for WWE. So this could be the one. And it shows that I thought to sell 60,000, they would have needed big names announced ahead of time, big matches announced ahead of time. So I'm actually happy to be proven wrong. It shows that the fan base is still out there and it's still growing and still rabid. And AEW is probably, and I'm sure they're all high-fiving backstage at Dynamite on Wednesday about moving all those tickets. That's a big deal.
It should be. They should be overjoyed. That talent, like you say, they should be chomping at the bit, trying to get a spot on that show, and understanding that, man, that television time that they're going to have, in that stadium there in Wembley, that's going to be worth its weight in gold, man. This is a moment. This is a moment for the company. It's a moment for each and every one of those talent to be able to work in front of a crowd that size, because that's a WrestleMania crowd.
Yeah, 100%.
60,000, that's a WrestleMania crowd. SummerSlam, if nothing else, that's SummerSlam easy. Mm-hmm. I say, man, good for them, bro. Good for them. I'm not going to be the one hating. Like a lot of people out there, see somebody do something good, the first thing they want to do is find something negative to say about it. So you're not going to find me trying to say anything negative about that company, growing, as well as I'm the first one to talk about guys needing jobs. One of my girls, Promise Braxton, she just got a shot, with Athena in AEW, actually ROH, which is a part of
same kind of thing.
AEW as well. Mm. Gigi is about to get her a shot there as well, too. So I'm like, man, if my young talent can get a chance to, experience something like that, man, let's do it.
Yeah, and this is what I wanted to ask you about that, because 60,000 people is a lot of people. When you were coming up and you had your first, I don't know what your first big audience show was. I don't know. What was the biggest show you did? The earliest
War Games.
So there are a lot of people there, right? Mm-hmm.
In Houston. Yeah.
In Houston. So there's probably 20,000 or more,
or at least 30,
maybe 30,000 people. Yeah. That was your first big crowd that you wrestled in front of. What kind of goes through your mind before a big crowd show like that? Do you think I got to be extra tonight, or do you try to go out and say, look, I'm going to work the same in front of six as I am in 60,000?
That's the cliche. No matter whether it's one or 100, yeah. you're going to go out there and perform the same way. But for me, the business has been a little bit different. There's always been a mindset. I knew when I came in, I was working with a lot of veterans. So I had a specific job, especially in the War Games match, because I was the youngest guy in the War Games match, with all the other guys, And so I knew, my job was to go out there and look good, making these other guys look good. That's what I felt like my job was that day. Even though I was out there with, major players like Vader and Sid, and my brother and I as a team, I still felt like my job was to go out there and make those guys, Sting, Davey Boy, make those guys look better than they ever could make themselves look, because I was the young guy. So I felt like I had a role to play. These days, it's a little bit different with, just say, for instance, per se, two AEW guys going out there. Those guys are going to go out there and they're going to compete and they're going to do everything that they possibly can. And hopefully they'll be thinking about, you know, that one thing that they should be thinking about more so than anything. Let's not think about us tonight. Let's think about the fans. You know, if you think about that right there, you'll win every single time. If you're thinking about yourself and, you know, how you're making yourself feel after you doing one of your big spots, you know, one of your big moves, you know, yeah, you might feel a certain way, but the fans may feel the direct opposite. So you might want to think about having that, for me, what I used to call that out-of-body experience, to where I could be that kid sitting in the front row so excited about what I was watching. You know what I mean? So hopefully those guys are able to find that moment and make it happen.
So I guess my question to follow up on that is, you say you try to work the same, you put yourself in the fans' perspective, you know, the out-of-body experience. But when you have 60,000 people, let's say, that pop is a lot bigger for the entrance, right? When you hit the spinneroony, the pop's much louder. When you hit the the sidekick, you feel a different rush from the crowd. And I guess, does it help propel you? Do you jump higher? Does it feel better? Does it hurt less? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, does it give you an extra layer at all?
You know, when you're in the zone, man, it's almost like white noise. Mm. You really don't hear anything sometimes, but you hear it. But if you're in the zone, you only hear it in those moments of, where it's everything goes dark, you know, double down. And it you just did something so traumatic to where it was, you know, a cause for that double down at that point. And then the crowd, they're so anticipating who's going to get up first, you know, so you hear those moments. Oh, you just did a big move and it was a 1-2 and it was an almost 3 count. And then the guy kicks out and the crowd goes, oh, everybody at one time, you go, oh my God, just lay right there, man. We got him. Don't move. Stay right there. That you're having those kind of, I get goosebumps thinking about that kind of stuff right there. But no, man, just take it all in. Take it all in. It's going to be a moment in front of 60,000. You know, like I say, these kids today, they go out there and they do it a little bit different. So I'm just going to sit back and watch and wait and anticipate how this thing is going to play out coming up here in a few months. Stick around, guys. You're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute. Everything going on inside the Hall of Fame. Get your champagne, vicious guys. Have your dreams. Man, where we at, man? Where we at?
I want to remind everybody again this Saturday night, if you are anywhere in the Houston, Texas area, 10,000 MNF Lowry Expressway, the Booker T World Gym Arena, going to be emanating a live reality wrestling taping. And the Heat book's going to be in action. I know. I mean, the Heat's got the tag team championships. The Last Stand Rumble just debuted. Yeah.
I'll be right there with him. I'll be right there repping.
The Last Stand Rumble is now available on the YouTube channel. It airs.
Guess what? You know what? Guess what?
What?
I'm thinking about making a comeback.
Wait, what? What's gonna happen? Wait, what?
I don't want to give. What? I don't want to give too much. But I'm thinking about doing something. So I just want to let everybody know. And it's all about the Heat.
It's all about the heat.
It's all about the Heat. Wrecking shop, because I've been hearing a couple of guys around reality wrestling running off at the mouth, you know what I mean? Thinking they're getting a little bit too big for their britches. And sometimes, you know, like from back in the day, they used to say, man, you got to chastise that boy when he get out of line. You got to chastise him. So that might be what might have to happen.
Well, I have to chastise that boy.
Yeah.
I got to do it. Do it. Well, we'll see. But it all goes down this weekend at the Reality of Wrestling. looking forward to it. It's you know, because we didn't have a show in April.
Yeah, yeah.
So now,
yeah, took a little time off, took a little break. But I'm gonna tell you right now, it's getting ready to get hot, man. Here in Houston, man, the summer's about to get hot. We're about to get cooking, and we're about to do some big, big, bigly things. Reality of wrestling. Okay.
Yeah, summer's cooking, man. Summer's cooking. I wanted to ask you to real quick to follow up on what we were talking about last segment. Then obviously I want to talk about Backlash from San Juan, Puerto Rico. Man, beautiful show. And I can't wait to talk about it. But you were saying in the last segment, we were talking about working in front of the 60,000 or what have you. And you said it was all white noise. Sometimes the crowd noise, you hear it and you feel it, but you're thinking about so many things in a match. But you said when y'all are both laid down and there's the big kick out and the fans go, ah, you know, you knew you got him. I heard Edge, the Hall of Famer, say one time that he knew the match was good. And I'm paraphrasing, but he knew the match was good if the fans counted to three, right? If the fans go one, two, three along with it. Do you think that's a good metric? Do you agree with that? Like, if as long as the fans are counting along at the finish, then we know we got them.
I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely a part of it. For me, the crowd chanting your name was a big part of it for me because I knew they was emotionally invested, emotionally connected to you and wanting you to win. Just like when I lost WrestleMania against Triple H. Man, those fans, man, they wanted me to win so bad. You know what I mean? And they were on every, you know, three count. They was on every moment of that match. So, yeah, man, it's so important when the fans are really giving it back to you because you know you are really giving them something special that they're going to remember for the rest of their lives. And that's what I get. When I go to, you know, conventions, is fans coming up to me and wanting to talk about those old stories, man, and those matches that made them feel a certain way. And for me, man, it definitely gives me that stamp and tells me that I went out there and did a hell of a job, you know, entertaining those fans.
You know, just know, excuse me, everybody, if you had to hear that, but to know, I guess it's almost like a comic, right? Like a comedian. A comedian knows the timing of the joke. It's not like, is the joke funny? Or for the wrestler, is the move right? It's hit the joke, hit the punchline, let it sit, and let the crowd come to you with, you know, with the laughter. And it's kind of the same thing with a wrestler. Is you hit the move, then let the crowd, give the crowd that time, right? Do you see what I'm saying?
I mean, it's so much involved in that dance, that show,
I know,
right? For me, it goes all the way to the finale, you know, and that's pretty much when the lights go out, and that's when the guy, you know, the final guy, the last guy, walked through the curtain. That guy, you know, a lot of times he's the loser. He walked through that curtain, and that guy may have just lost, you know, the biggest match of his career. And it's up to that guy to really make the fans feel like they lost just as much as he did. Oh, man, encore, bravo. That's what I'm looking for when I think about this stuff.
Oh, man. We got to talk about Backlash, but we do have a couple Super Chats real quick, so let me go to them first.
Super Chat!
Scott Bott says, hey, Book and Brad, have y'all seen the video going around of Booker ordering DoorDash during NXT? Tell him, pay you, dog, the king as a spokesperson. I will say we talked about this last week, and it continued to get bigger the next day. I think the video now is close to the 4 million mark. Last I saw,
hey, bro, look here. I'm gonna get in touch with DoorDash tomorrow. Okay.
Well, I don't know if I should. Maybe I didn't send it to you, or maybe you didn't see it on Twitter. DoorDash did respond to the video on their official Twitter account and said,
"Maybe they need to throw me some cash, man."
Said Booker T knows.
We need to see if we can get some kind of a little side deal. Some, you know what I mean?
Promo because code.
Because the thing is, one thing that DoorDash needs to understand is I'm ordering every week. You know what? And if they don't understand, Uber Eats might.
We can switch. We can make the switch. That's funny.
So we'll figure it out. We need to get to the table and start some negotiations. Let's talk.
Well, we need to talk to DoorDash. Did you see the comedian who did the little thing about getting your DoorDash order?
Yeah, I saw that.
That one cracked me up.
You know what, man? It just lets me know, man. I'm still popular as I always been. You know, the fans still, you know, love me, love to, you know, to mess with me or something. You know, and I heard Oscar De La Hoya say something. He said, "But if you ain't got your haters, also you ain't doing something right."
Sure.
So I'm a believer as far as what Oscar just said right there.
People were talking about that DoorDash.
You know what? It's crazy too, dog. It's crazy. What makes the news of wrestling?
Well, I will say this. I guarantee you, because you haven't been to back to NXT since, I guarantee you when you walk in to that performance center this week, somebody's going to bring up the DoorDash.
Somebody's going to bring me an order of chicken parmesan. So,
that's probably... Hey, the young guys in the locker room, if you're listening, show up with that chicken parm with a little bit of the Jack Daniel's glaze on it.
I'll take it, but that's for the shrimp. Make sure you get the shrimp to go.
Get it on the shrimp and get some of that red hot.
Not the grilled or anything like that. I need the fried shrimp. Look it up.
Hey, man, Louisiana has this new hot sauce called Crystal, or at least I tried it for the first time. Have you had that Louisiana Crystal?
No.
Oh, man. It's like Louisiana, but just a little bit better.
What the hell that mean?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
Louisiana hot sauce, but a little bit better. Okay.
It's like the state, but better. No, Booker, we call that Texas already.
All right, I tried out, man. I tried out. I've been offered that Frank's and the Cholula as a late black.
Frank's is good, and Cholula's great. Yeah, I like Louisiana a lot of times. And anyway,
Tabasco sucks.
Tabasco does suck. I
don't know why that company has made so much money off that hot sauce.
Why is that the worldwide leader? It doesn't taste good.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it at all.
It's got too much vinegar in it or something.
Yeah, it doesn't even taste like hot sauce.
No, it doesn't taste like hot sauce.
But other stuff. Keep it
real. Anyway, I'm sorry about that.
Super chat.
Alex Cosentino said, who did the motion capture for you on WWE 2K games? Did you do it or did someone else? I saw LA Knight does it, but... For most, but no way he does the spin-a-rooney.
Now, somebody must did my latest stuff. I've done it before. I've done it before when he hooked the balls up to me and I go and do all of my kicks. So my stuff is probably in the archives as far as, my movesets and whatnot, you know, because they had me sweating like crazy, jumping around and kicking and, you know, scissor kicking and spin kicking, spin-a-rooney, everything, man. It was nuts of a day. But they should have my stuff in the archives. I would imagine.
Was it a long day? Did they have you there for hours?
It was probably a couple hours.
Yeah.
Because you can't do it that long. You're going to run out of gas after a while, you know.
Yeah. What is the tennis ball thing about? Or the little ping pong balls? They need those to like know the.
That is what simulate your action movement.
In the machine?
Yeah, machine. That's a little bit too deep for me.
Who the hell knows? I don't know these things. We have another one here.
Super chat.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have another one. I just saw it. Bernard Frederick said, hey, Book, your match at WrestleMania with Triple H, who called that match? I think traditionally the heel calls the match. But do you remember who called the match with you and Triple H?
I remember Hunter and I had a lot of back and forth as far as what was going to be done in that match. But I can tell you this. I did the Harlem Hangover in that match. And Hunter called for it. And that's the true champion right there. That's the true G of the business, you know. Get everything in. Get all your stuff in. You know what I mean? I'm winning tonight. No matter what, you know, get your stuff in. And for him to actually tell me to go out and do that move to him in that match, let me know that he was thinking about me, getting over it, even though I was going to be going under at the same time. You know, so I don't look back negatively on that match at all, really. Do I wish I had won that match? That's the question. It's a really tough question because I've never gotten the business to win matches because It's wrestling. Always got in it to entertain. Would it have been a really cool thing if I would have won? Man, it would have been awesome. You know, but I just never looked at the business like that. And I know a lot of people might go, man, he's lying. There's no way he could think that way. I live a great life. It is all due to me having the mindset of putting a hard hat on and my boots, and I'm going to work every day. That's it. All it's been is a job. You know, and if you think about it that way, you might have a 30-year career.
There you have it. Well, we got to go to a break, but we'll talk more about this.
Stick around, guys. You're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute.
I just wanna free fall like the rain.
You're listening to the Hall of Fame on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Booker T and Brad Gilmore.
Welcome back inside the Hall of Fame, guys. Just chopping it up and talking a little wrestling, sports, and entertainment. And all in between and above. Hey, where we at, man? Where we going? Where we going? Got more super chats?
We do have more super chats, but I feel like we need to get to some of backlash that went down from San Juan, Puerto Rico on Saturday night, the PLE. And I got to say, Book, this is another one for WWE. All killer, no filler this year. When you go to Royal Rumble, you had WrestleMania, of course, Backlash. Am I missing one? Maybe. Everything has been all fire. There's not been one pay-per-view flop this year. And this one, as great as WrestleMania was, and I think that's still the best show of the year, especially night one, this one to me is a close second of how great this show was. Mainly, I'd say 90% of it was the atmosphere. It was so awesome. The crowd was so into the match. Every match, you know, every match they were into. And of course, the people came to see Bad Bunny. One half of the double main event.
People want to see Bad Bunny.
Yeah. Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny's had a hell of a week. Someone put it on I think it was Complex's Instagram put it out. He like headlined Coachella both nights, which is the biggest music festival in the States. Then the next week, he's at the Met Gala with his date, Kendall Jenner. And then this week, he's headlining the WWE pay-per-view or premium live event in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And he went out there and stole the show with Damian Priest. They had a San Juan street fight and they did it all, man. Bad Bunny, along with guys like Logan Paul and Pat McAfee, and I'll even throw Johnny Knoxville in there from the previous year's WrestleMania, they have stepped up the commitment necessary to be a celebrity in the wrestling space. And he and Damian Priest went out there. And, Book, I am not over-exaggerating, and maybe the chat will jump all over me. I think at the end of the year, it's not going to be the match of the year. It's not. But we're going to. It's going to be mentioned. It's going to be mentioned. It's going to get an honorable mention. Like, man, it's not the match of the year, but that was, because to me, it was what pro wrestling was, right? It's the big man, little man match. Damian Priest toying around with Bad Bunny for a little while, puts the heat on him. The heat's strong, toying with him. Bunny makes the comeback. He's got the Singapore cane. It looks like the Judgment Day is going to get involved. Here comes Carlito, right? And then it looks like it was a big moment. And Carlito looks better than he ever did in his WWE.
You know what? He looks the same.
Well, he looks
bigger. I know, but he still look almost exactly the same. He hadn't changed a bit.
Same, yeah. He doesn't look older. Like he doesn't look very old at all.
Yeah, he's not using as much hair product.
It's not as tall.
I'll argue with him about that.
But he looks great, and boom! You think that Carlito's going to save the day? Judgment Day looks like they're going to start on him. Here comes Savio Vega, another Puerto Rican representative. And Savio, although he was, I don't know how old Savio is. He's moving a little.
He's my age, maybe a little older.
He was moving a little slow, but he could still get that leg up for the sidekick that he would go for. I was actually really impressed by that, but then it looks like that's not going to work, and then boom, here comes the LWO. And the LWO, which, by the way, the LWO is so over right now. Like, they're one of the hottest acts in the whole company, and I did not see that coming. We had Santos here on the show, and he was great, but the match was awesome.
And being in Puerto Rico too, I mean, just had a certain feel to it. Letting those guys get their flowers, letting those fans really cheer for those guys and really make them guys feel a certain way. I mean, Savio Vega has been in this business, man, it seems like forever. Mm-hmm. And he's still out there doing it in the fans. That's that nostalgic moment. That's that nostalgic match. You know what I mean? Like you said, Bam Bam Bigelow, Lawrence Taylor. You know, that's what that was. You know what I mean? That total celebrity versus, you know, WWE superstar match. And then the star go out, you know, pull it off. Man, I'm going to tell you, man, when Lawrence Taylor did that back in the day, I felt the same way that these young kids probably are feeling the same way about watching Bad Bunny go out there and do it. So, man, big ups to Bunny going out there and getting it done. But there's no way Bad Bunny could have got that done without someone like Damian Priest going out there and really making that guy look a certain way in the middle of that ring. So I got to give Damian Priest big props in order, you know, for that thing to go proper.
Look, man, Damian deserves so much credit for going out there, like you said, and laying it out the right way to where you could believe Bad Bunny, you know, a music superstar who's not an athlete, not a wrestler. You believe he went out there and did it, you know. And Bunny, credit to him, man. The guy's crazy. I mean, he took a Falcon arrow off of a stage equipment through a table. You know what I mean? He wanted to commit to this 100%, and you said it when you did the video with him, and just for him to do the song about Booker T, and he's always had the Latino Heat shirt on in the video with Drake, and he's really always embraced wrestling, and you could tell that he did not want to go out there and put a stain on the sport. He wanted to go out there and make people go, man, this is crazy.
Nah, man. Bunny makes it as real as he possibly can.
Yeah.
And that right there for me is something that I try to preach to these young guys about. You know, you don't have to be a great wrestler in order to make it, you know, make it feel a certain way. You don't have to act like, I mean, you don't have to actually know how to do it if you act like you know how to do it pretty good. And that's what Bad Bunny has gotten down. He acts like he does it very well, but you could tell Bad Bunny grew up in the neighborhood too. Mm-hmm. You tell Bad Bunny isn't a kid who was just had that silver spoon or grew up soft.
Right.
You could tell this kid don't mind getting into a scrap. You know what I mean? And I noticed that just being on set with him during the video, how in control he was of that whole thing, that whole machine that was going on. This young cat was in total full control of everything from the production side of what was going on, man. And I was like, wow, this is really, really impressive. So I give Bad Bunny a lot of credit for where he's come from to where he has come to in this life.
And you know what, Bork? I'm going to add one more thing to this match. So I'm going to take it back a second because I'm going to bring it forward. Trust me. Just follow me on the journey. When I first saw Impact Wrestling, TNA, back in the day, I was watching TNA, the six sides of the ring. I thought this was so cool. And then I saw this guy, part of Team Canada. He came out with Scott D'Amore, and he had a finishing move I'd never seen before. He called it the Canadian Destroyer, right? And it was Petey Williams. And when he hit that Canadian Destroyer,
Petey Williams,
when he had that Canadian Destroyer and he would hit that thing so smooth, my mind just couldn't understand it. Like, I didn't understand how he did it, you know? I couldn't fathom
the mechanics of it.
I didn't even understand.
I couldn't even figure it out when I first saw it also.
It was incredible. And that was always his move. You never really saw anyone else do it. And then you fast forward now 20 years, a lot of people use the Canadian Destroyer.
Yeah.
But this is where I want to give Bad Bunny the credit. Because guess what? Bad Bunny hit that San Juan Destroyer, right? He hit it. And guess what happened afterward?
What?
He got the 3 count. It was a finish. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Bad Bunny knew if I hit this, it's over.
Yeah, this is it.
This is the finish. We're going home.
This is what I want to do for the finish.
Because it's a finish.
Oh, yeah.
That's a finish.
We ain't got to do nothing else.
The Destroyer isn't a setup move to get to the next thing. And I'm like, kudos to Bad Bunny for thinking about this with some psychology.
You know what, man,
if I flip you over and I drive you on your head in a flip, that should be the end of the match.
Yeah, I don't know who came up with the match for him, but if he had anything to do with that, he's definitely, you know, smarter than one would think. You know, I was talking to a couple of my students about, you know, a match that they had, you know, a couple of months back. And, man, they did so much stuff in that match. And I could tell where they were going. They were trying to tell me a really good story. Then the finish came. And then the finish came. And then the finish came. And neither one of those was the finish. And I was like, guys, come on. You lost me there. You know what I mean? That was it. Nothing was going to get bigger than that. And that's what Bad Bunny, I think, was in that position. Nothing for him was going to get bigger than that. Rican Destroyer. So, boom, let's go home from here. So, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So the match was excellent. And you know what? I almost felt like going back to the LT Bam Bam thing, at WrestleMania 11. So the world title match, I believe that year was Kevin Nash Diesel versus Shawn Michaels, but that went on before LT and Bam Bam. And I kind of think Brock and Cody should have gone on before Bad Bunny and Damian, because the crowd was so exhausted.
Well, you know
by
what?
That time, after that match was over.
That goes to what I was just saying a second ago. You got to understand where the crowd is going to be at its peak. Mm-hmm. And that was when Bad Bunny was going to come out.
Yeah.
Now, Bad Bunny in Puerto Rico, I don't give a damn who you got on the card. That's the main event.
It's the main event.
You know, so you can't miss that moment. Well, you shouldn't miss that moment. I get it. I totally understand. Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. It's like when the Rock came back for Mania and it was in Miami. It's like, yeah, we get it that, you know, you got the world title now, but this is the Rock in Miami. In his comeback. Like, he's got to go on last.
Do you want to start a riot? You know, let's figure this out. We got to take a break, guys. Stick around. You're in the Hall of Fame. We'll be back in a minute.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.